the thing is, it's choice. And I think that's what really came down to. A lot of the things that go wrong in our life is because we made the bad choice. And we learn from those bad choices. And you don't learn how to manage money until you lose money.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summers Tribe. It is an exciting day to be back here. Jamie and I here again with two very old friends that we've known for, gosh, probably about 12 years now. And to watch the metamorphosis, the growth of what this has become, this is going to be a fun episode. A lot of you have already known my friend, Steve Sims. Steve and I got together in a mastermind group years ago. I'd say, Steve, we had two things in common. When we were sitting in those groups with some pretty high profile entrepreneurs, we had a fist down on the table saying, we want to teach our kids differently. And then with our open conversations, we said, look, we're not going to be one of these fakes that says family life's perfect. It's not. It never is. It's not perfect. But how do we make our way through the imperfections and try to teach our kids differently? And I think that's really how our friendship started. You know, watched you move on with Bluefish and then the book Blue Fishing. Henry, you know, we watched you grow up from just this arms crossed teenager. I mean, we're going to have to talk about our first meeting together, spending the weekend together, but now becoming to your own Sims Media. So you guys are pretty well known with our group, I think, already. But I wanted to give that introduction. I want to say welcome to you both.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
Yeah. So I think we start with, we really got to know each other over 10 years ago by spending the weekend together. You were at one of our retreats. Henry, you came going, who the heck are these weirdos?
I would love to hear Henry's perspective. Because yeah. Henry, how old are you now?
Let's get back to that.
I'm 24 now. And I think I was probably around 13, 14, around that age. Okay. Probably 14.
I think so. Before, and I'm not going to steal Henry because I do want Henry to talk about his reflection on that. But I think it needs to be keyed up for any of the listeners that don't know. You called me out because I do remember, and you probably recall this now. I do remember, and there's a little bit of it that you're not aware of, that Henry's aware that I'm going to tell now. But I remember that conversation of me and you going, hey, why aren't our kids learning this? Why are our kids at school learning about maths and algorithms and Pythagoras theorem when they're not here learning about starting your own business and trademarks and laws and, you know, the ups and downs of life? Why are they not? And you said to me, well, we've got this thing that can help with that. And I was like, yeah. And that was it. And then the following year, and it was very, very rare that I've ever done this, but it was an open mic session at Joe Polish's event in New York. And I was pissed off that there were all these people in the room, some of them very old, you know, in their 60s, 70s, 80s, that were on the twilight years. And I said, it's upsetting that basically a good third of this room is knocking on the white light, you know, heading out the door, and there's no youngsters in this room learning from them. That is traumatic. They're not having the benefit. And as I walked away from the thing, you went, told you before, I've got something that can help you. And I was like, look, once I'd cast it off, I wasn't going to let you down a second time. More importantly, I wasn't going to let me down a second time because you were offering me the solution to something that I'd vented on twice. And so you told me about the event. I came back, told Henry about the event, who was very much a non-recognizing entrepreneur, you know, was eagerly trying to kind of fight. I'm not one of those, you know, you're one of those. That's not me. But he did say, yes, I'll do it. And then he was so kind of focused on not being in my world of disruption and chaos and all over the place, which is me, that he ended up being a grade A student. And this was going to cause him to miss days off of school. Now, what you're not aware of, and I don't know if we told you this story, me and Henry had a blist, and he's always been his own man, and he's always stood face to face for me, and he's a good, strong, powerful fella. And him and I had a blistering argument the night before coming. We'd already agreed. We'd already paid for hotels. We'd already bought flights. He didn't want to go.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we never spoke to each other. We never spoke to each other that night following that argument. Claire went in there to kind of patch it up. And we started speaking a little bit, you know, on the plane because we happened, we sat next to each other. But it wasn't until basically during the day that he got his eyes opened. But it was very nearly that we never made it. And, you know, you always wonder what that one degree does in your life. I wonder what would have happened because the relationship changed when he came back. That's the framework. Henry, answer the question. What did you think?
Like, so, be honest.
Or just your perspective. Yeah,
like my dad said, I didn't have any interest in the world of entrepreneurship. I just saw the volatility, and that was the only part of it that I saw. So I thought, I'm not opting into that life. But I don't know what it was that kind of got me to say yes in the first place. And then obviously it was just the fact that it was already booked and planned that pushed me into finally going. And it really was, like you said, I wonder what would have happened because it did spark a few areas of my brain and got me thinking about life differently after we did that event.
Do you remember, we were talking about it earlier today, his dream
Dreaming
seat.
Board, yeah.
Yeah, your dream board. You held a captive room of, I mean, there were some pretty successful adults and kids in there, but if you remember, Henry, you held the room's attention like there was, you could hear a pin drop because they were going, oh, mm-hmm. Tell us more. What's this plan you have? And do you remember writing up that dream board saying, let's look out at Henry 20 years from now. What is Henry seeing for himself when there's no ceiling? This is complete take off the ropes. What do you see? Do you remember the board that you put together?
I don't remember exactly what was on it, but I do remember sitting in the room and all of you saying to write what we wanted our life to look like. And I had not a clue. I couldn't put anything down because I didn't know what I wanted it to look like. So I do remember that the biggest thing was just writing the elements down that I didn't want in my life and using that kind of process of elimination to start kind of drawing it out.
Yeah, but I remember some of the things, whether you realize now, because those certain things you have a photographic memory on. There's certain events in your life. And there's a couple of that's some of our favorite work we've ever done, working with young people and having dreams come out. And also the parents say, I'm in, how can I support this? Mm-hmm. And some of the things you spoke about that day, we know Steve's not always the most emotional, but I could see the choke up in you that day. And I think you're doing some of that stuff now, which is so cool. Cause that was just, I see that. And the one thing that I always remember about you guys, questions we always ask, if you guys remember, we did that connection formula. Say, look, there's 757 things we got to work on as a father-son team. But what's one thing we can work on? What's one thing? There's one thing that comes to the top. And both of you guys, I remember when I said, look, you did the one thing to work on. Was it fair to say? Yep. Is it reasonable? Do you think there's some merit to what, you know, your son and vice versa has to work on? And both of you guys were like, yeah, absolutely. And I just remember this camaraderie of the two of you understanding. Mm-hmm. Remember, it just stuck out with the two of you and almost set example for the whole group, to be honest with you. So, but can you guys believe that's been a decade?
That's been 10
years. No. It's ridiculous. I look at little pictures of this little fella kind of like, you know, doing stuff. And then I look at the man sat next to me. Like, we go to Genius Network, we go to War Room, and I'll see Henry having a conversation on marketing and branding with Ryan Dice and Roland Frazier. And I'm sitting there going, when did this happen? How come this happened? And we host events now for entrepreneurs, and Henry will take the stage and suddenly start lecturing and educating the people in the room on how to brand and market it. And it's just incredible to see the growth he's got.
Yeah. That's amazing. For parents that are listening to us, Steve, it's interesting that, you know, Henry says he was so not comfortable with the volatility, the unpredictability. And it almost felt like a form of like unstable home life, which I totally get because our boys have that same. I think our boys thought that we were just insane until they started meeting other entrepreneurs like yourself. And so I just wonder when you're child is pushing against, like, for the parents to hear this, when you have a child that does think you're crazy, what you're doing makes no sense, but you know it's the right path, how do you hold space for them to find their way back? Does that make sense? How do you not say, oh, well, go scuff off, I know what I'm doing is right, see you later? How did you leave that door open for Henry to find himself and then find his way back?
It is it's a weird world, isn't it? Let's be blunt. And till you've been screwed over, ripped off, gone broke a few times, been laughed at, been lied to, then you're not an entrepreneur. You know, it's not a world that if they gave you the job description that you would ever go, hey, that's the world I want to be in. And also, you look at a lot of entrepreneurs and you think you've got to be Gary Vee. You know, you've got to be Grant Cardone. You've got to take pictures up against this and you've got to be loud and stuff like that. And they don't realize that for a lot of us, and we know fantastic entrepreneurs out there that are introvert, that don't want to go out, that actually aren't very good with people. I love hanging around with people I love, and I hate talking to anyone that I don't know. So it's a very difficult one to be able to turn around and cast your perspective of what an entrepreneur is, does, and handles on someone who's so different. And Henry is very different to me. Very different. So it was a case of I couldn't go, hey, this works, because one week you're celebrating a $1 million deal and the next week you're celebrating a lawsuit. It kind of feels like that, doesn't it? Like, and it's all this. Yeah, it's just weird as hell. And it takes its toll on everything. So it's very hard to turn around and go, oh, Henry, this is a great life to be in, when sometimes you can't exactly commit and confirm that it actually is. But the thing is, it's choice. And I think that's what really came down to. A lot of the things that go wrong in our life is because we made the bad choice. And we learn from those bad choices. And you don't learn how to manage money until you lose money. You don't know how to make a strong relationship until you build bad ones. Yeah. You don't know how to build a good sales funnel until you produce shit one. So it's all that kind of swing. And I think what you've got to do is allow your youngsters two things. One, to make their own choice. Because all entrepreneurs, we stand out. We're different. We're unique. Even though we're a bunch of misfits, we jokingly say, we're like Hogwarts. Everyone's got their own magical power. We're all different, but we're all members of Hogwarts. And I think that's one thing you've got to allow them to do, to become their own individual. But then I think the trick is also to, and it is a trick, and we did it with you, to surround them with other people doing other things. And so, because you're never going to be cool, you know, you're never going to be the cool kid to your kids. You know, your dad, and you'll get someone else who's maybe achieved a lot less than you and maybe not as, I don't know, whatever metrics you want to put on it, but has the attention of your son or daughter. And yeah, what they're saying is gospel. Yeah. And so you've got to get them into rooms to allow them to spread their wings, to talk to other people, to hear other stories, and to allow them to go, do you know, not everyone looks like my mum or dad. They can look like this person, and I relate a little bit more to them. And again, as entrepreneurs, first of all, got to realize it's all down to your individual choice.
Now, and you hit on such a powerful thing, and we've talked about this. My biggest goal, I mean, having those retreats, they weren't huge money makers for us. We've dumped everything back into them, but it was a secret sauce for me to get my kids around fun aunts and fun uncles. I call it the fun uncle effect. I mean, you, yeah, your accent and your humor. And I mean, it was, oh, he's in LA and he can get me on stage with these people and knows this rapper. I mean, they loved it. And you could say something, Steve, that I've said to them 75 times and they didn't hear it until it came from this. And I think I had the same effect on Henry. I remember some.
You did. And you are 100% right. What you say is way more cooler and made way more impact. Henry came back from your retreats. And are you still doing the retreats?
We had them booked up for pre-COVID. And then we had about 13 workshops and retreats canceled. And we haven't gone back, but we will. And you guys are testament to why we want to go back.
But that's very nice of you to call Jim cool. I don't know if anyone's done that before.
Yeah, my sons would be so pissed off at you right now, Steve.
Well, I want you. We'll always give a testimonial. You know, anytime you want a testimonial on these retreats, because Henry actually came back with an appreciation of what we did as parents. And, you know, he'd been with me for 13 years of his life. He'd been with you for 24 hours and you gave him the appreciation. So, you know, part of me was like, bollocks, you know, why didn't you listen?
Yeah, but you're like, I said that
20 times. But no, you're right, you've got that cool uncle effect, and you make an incredible impact on the people in your room through your retreats. I can't say enough about it.
No, I appreciate it. Well, and Henry said something. I don't know if you know or remember this, Henry, but I've used this on stage a lot of times. The importance of getting people where we as entrepreneurs had to find people. You know, as Steve said, we were half old and broken down, and we still weren't comfortable with certain risks and alone feelings. And you said, you know what, for the first time with this group, and I can still remember a lot of the fellow younger people's faces there, you said, I think I've taken a mask off I didn't even realize I was wearing, but I felt comfortable enough to take this mask off and figure a couple things out about who I really was. And I got to tell you, that has gone on to help thousands of teens, Henry. Thousands, because I've used that on so many stages. And I've said the story, my friend Steve, super charismatic in that. And his son came in, wanted his own thing, but he said this thing, and so many people have related to that. So I want to give you a huge thumbs up on that, because you did that. And speaking about taking off your mask, this is something I want to ask you, because I kind of followed your story. We've talked. You were not like me and your dad. Me and your dad, you could have taken our GPAs, add them together, and you were still higher just on your own. So you didn't kind of have to be, you know, this outside entrepreneur. You had the abilities of anything, especially academically. I saw it. And then you went on to Oregon. And again, that next mass takeoff, you said, look, I'm getting straight A's. I'm doing well. This isn't for me. There's a lot of kids that are feeling that, like, you know, and how did you come to that realization?
How'd you feel safe enough to explore and come back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I've been pretty comfortable to make any kind of decision because of the variety of opportunities that my family has given me. Like any direction that I want to look at, they've always been open to it because they know how many different directions they went in as youngsters. So even the few direction changes I made are probably still not nearly as dramatic as all the different types of things they were doing when they were younger. So they had that understanding that I just had to go and try different things. But the whole time I was still kind of weighing up different variables. So it wasn't just kind of shots in the dark. But when it did come to Oregon, it was just a matter of realizing that I didn't like the structure and the control or lack of control. And so I wanted to have more freedom of my own time and what I was pursuing. And I didn't just like the system that I was being led through. So as much as I liked the topic that I was studying, I didn't like the thought of how the careers would look day to day. So fortunately, I had phone calls with my parents asking about and discussing this kind of feeling that I was having of I wasn't happy with what this was. I didn't know what else I wanted to do because I didn't know how to apply the way my mind worked outside of this academic setting. And so they were more than welcoming to let me just give up on that part, come back home and start exploring within what they did. And also, again, jumping into other sand pits. I was going to any business meeting, mutual connections would let me in just to listen to what kind of problems they were talking about to allow me to start discovering those other areas where I could find what interested me and where my mindset still worked outside of an academic setting.
Yeah. And that was so smart of you. I remember your dad saying to me, the difference about Henry and your sons is that people will do for them that they won't for us. We're old. People don't want to naturally help us. We're old. He says, but when you're young and you have a little bit of enthusiasm and open interest, right? Like I've watched you go into events and people just want to talk to you. Not because they liked your dad. They did like your dad. But the fact that you were showing initiative and enthusiasm. And I think guys like you that did that, you are now out of an unfair advantage. I think you have a master's in the true business trenches that's starting to show because here you are now at Sims Media, which I do want to talk about because a father-son team that's come through this. Tell us a little bit about Sims Media.
It was a kitchen collision, literally. So I've got my own brand and I was doing my own coaching on branding and marketing. None of the grassroots mechanical stuff, none of the optimization and algorithms and all those techie things. It was always the kind of like how to market yourself, how to brand, how to get the tone. And then they would go, well, that's great, but how do I build up the algorithms? How do I build up the hashtags? How do I build up the scalability, the amplification? And Henry had launched his own firm at the time. And I think it was called Krusty Chicken or something like that. It was some stupid name that every week renamed it something just as pathetic. But what ended up happening was I would walk into his room and I'd be like, right, I've got this client. I'm doing X, Y, Z. We need ABC done by you. And he'd be like, all right, I'll take that. And so then either the client was paying him and me, so two invoices, or paying me and then I'd have to pay him. And it was Claire who said that you're kind of sitting on either side of the fence when you could do more if you're in the same field. And so Henry was in the kitchen, and you probably remember this, don't you, Henry? And we just said, look, I'm over here, you're over here. We're doing all right, you know, this, but we would do so much better if we did this. And of course, you always get a little bit scared because, of course, I've got the years of experience and the credibility and all this. And Henry is young and could change his mind tomorrow and maybe doesn't have the work ethic or that I have. There's a lot of unknown. And of course, when you get together, you know it's going to go wrong. You know there's going to get moments of heat and tension. And how do you handle those moments? Is what you are trying to do actually going to be cancerous to the relationship? And of course, when two people work together, when two members of the family work together and they're in the same house, then the work conversation stops when you fall asleep, you know? So there's none of these breaks. So I think Henry had trepidation because, again, he wasn't me. He wasn't my speed. He wasn't my chaos. He wasn't my, let's do it and then work it out. And of course, he knew that having me involved, he'd be somewhat shackled. And I think at the time, maybe overlooked, and you could probably answer that better, but, you know, kind of, it was easy for me to walk into a room, and if someone didn't know who I was, it didn't take many seconds for someone to go, you know, Elon Musk, you know, you did this with Elton, and bang, I was in the conversation, and Henry would be the shadow along my side. And so I think he had that trepidation. I think you went, what did you do? You just jumped on the bike and went for a ride, didn't you? Just kind of, you know, let it sink in.
It wasn't a quick thing. So my mom sparked the idea, and it was probably up in the air for a few weeks because it was just kept kind of hinting, like, why don't we join? Why don't we join? But again, in my mind, it was, where does the control go? And I was concerned it was a situation where it was tailored to his brand, and I was just complementing it with the individual skill sets and perspective that I had. And I was doing a lot of digital marketing on my own. So I was concerned that I'd be giving up some of what I was trying to build towards. So on that kitchen collision, as he said, we went and kind of opened it up more. We really put some true consideration into what that could look like. But then me just being who I am, I needed to actually think on it myself. So I went and drove out to the beach and just sat on the beach with my notepad and just kind of wrote down exactly what it was that I wanted out of a business, what I wanted long-term personally, the lifestyle, and a lot of the no's of what can't work as partners, what we can't assume we get from each other. So I had to make sure that those kind of things were listed so that when we came back and then discussed it, that was out on the table and we both knew the direction we wanted to go, what we wanted out of the business, how our relationship working together would look so that it would work if we decided to go forward with it. So there, it wasn't a easy, quick little, yeah, let's do it. It actually was very well thought out.
Wonderful that you set some boundaries and expectations around that relationship and around what that would look like. Because I think so often us entrepreneur parents have children and we want so badly for them to do the thing, you know, whether it's with us or for themselves. And sometimes we tend to push or give too much. And so I was wondering, Steve, you know, as Henry mentioned, you know, that you guys allowed that space for him to come and go and explore and come back. How do you fully support but not give everything? You know, I mean, there is a fine line. And I love that Henry is thoughtful enough to say, okay, you might be crazy, but here are the boundaries and expectations. Because it is, it is hard to just be like, oh, I know it's going to work because I love you. Well, that's probably why it's not going to work. How do you decide what an encouragement versus a handout is? You know, how have you and your family navigated that?
So for start, I'm actually a bit of a vicious shit, and I don't think I've given Henry anything. We've always had this saying, and Henry will confirm it here. You give me 10%, I'll give you 90. Okay. And I want to see the motivation, the determination, the scratch, the scars, the clawing that he wants to do something, then I'll help it along. But if he wakes up one morning and says, hey, I fancy a Mercedes. All right, son, there's a Mercedes. That ain't our family. That ain't happening. So Henry's always, you know, he's done dirt biking, and it's always been a case of you get grade A's, you get your pair of boots. You do this, you can upgrade the motorbike. You work on that, that can happen. You show me that algorithm can get us another client, then I'll go out and do a bit of marketing and get you to talk to different people. So it's always been a case of you show up first and then I'll help you. Because
so good.
Resistantly here, while I knew what I could do for Henry, my concern was what Henry could do for me. And I didn't want it to be in a situation where I would introduce him. Because, Jim, we know some powerful people. Yep. And we know people that can go, yeah, okay, I'll do a 200 grand contract with you to give it a shot. But it's taken us 30, 40 years to get to that position.
Yeah.
And Henry woke up on a Sunday morning and went, yeah, okay, I'll try that. I'm thinking, hang on, do I want him in my sandpit? How is he going to show up? How is he going to be? So we did both tread carefully. He was worried about my chaotic approach. My worry was, is he just a cute wingman? And so we both treaded carefully, and we both had those conversations. And now I'll go into a room. No one knows I'm in the room because they're sitting at his table chatting with him, you know, and he's up on stage. And, you know, people come over to me and asking me, can you do me a favor and tell Henry I need to speak? And asking me to introduce them to him. So it's beautiful to see how it was. But I think having fear, skepticism, especially in a family relationship, is really, really good. But he never got given it. And there'd be certain times where we would be in a conversation at a table in a room, because I know I've got the sand pits. I know he has got the skill. So I can't do what he does, and he can't get into my sand pit. So that's the only bloody thing I got. And so by helping him get into it and then see how he's flourishing, I trod carefully. There you go. There's my literature gone. But, you know, I was very careful in seeing him get into those conversations. And now I just throw him into anything. You know, he was approached by, we both know Roland Frazier, Ryan Dyce and Perry Belcher. Yeah. You know, three of the largest marketing geniuses in the planet. Tack on to that, Dan Fleischman. They all know Henry by name. They all converse directly with Henry. And recently, they contacted Henry about speaking on traffic and conversion or War Room. So, you know, we got this guy that, let's be blunt, no one's got 20 years in the industry because TikTok only came about 2.5 years ago. So, and he's just adapting to everything and now being looked at as a disruptive thought leader enough to be asked to be on stage. And he's been on stage at my events. Not because he's my son. He doesn't get shit if he doesn't earn it. But he's been on those stages twice. And people love it. And then he gets off stage and they're retaining him to work on stuff. So I'm very careful to make sure that people don't think that he's just been given a golden ticket. He's been given my name. He's been given my credibility. He's been given my Rolodex, if anyone still has a Rolodex. But he's earned his way to stay there.
Now, Henry, how has that worked for you? Because so often children get offended, like, oh, but you could do it for me. And that's really a mindset that sometimes we may have as we're younger. But as you progress, looking back, how has that navigation of your dad posturing you but not handing you anything? How's that feel for you? How does that work for you as now an adult child?
I think it's great. I think it's one of the strongest assets that I have is that kind of self-determination to go. And they don't, they've said they've never given me or handed anything out. But at the same time, like you said, they have given that support and also that kind of mental support and motivation of if you want something, you can go get it. So there's that openness to go in a direction. There's the help if I show the initiative, and there's the support to create that initiative. So I've always had a good positioning the way they've allowed me to go and do stuff, but is what has made me make all these changes from leaving college, trying out different things, knowing that I can go and do it. I can start. I have the ability to go and do something. That's just kind of been built into me now. So I can see that now from those years ago. And so I'm appreciative of that approach to raising someone.
That's awesome. I think that's important for our listeners to hear the difference between what your perspective on how that was handled and, you know, from both of you.
Well, and not only that, look, there are a lot of personalities out there, but I think your dad is effing hilarious. I mean, right away, I mean, we hit it off. We just had a camaraderie, a jokingness, and he's very catchy. You're great in your position, Steve, right? We're big Dan Sullivan fans. We know how to find our unique ability, and we did. The biggest disservice that would have been here, Henry, is if you had tried to become a little Steve. I'm sorry, those marketers would not be talking to you right there, but like, we already have a Steve. We don't need a Steve 2.0.
We're full.
Steve's here with the jokes and he's doing it. If you had done that, there is no way I think this would have gone to shit. Mm-hmm. The fact that you said, I have my own unique abilities, they're not his. And if you guys had tried to get together, you guys didn't need two Steves. And that's what I love about this. I've seen this come together. You have not changed. You have your dry humor, standing there powerfully, you know, talking to me like, watching your dad goof off, but then saying like a one-liner that gets it. But you've always stayed your own individual. And I think if you had tried to become a second version of your dad, this would have gone to hell. But the fact that you're continuing to say, nope, there's things I can add, but I'm not my dad. It's really cool to watch because it's expanding. It's not just trying to be the same, if that makes sense to you. That's what I get most excited about from what I'm seeing here. And I'm sure you've seen that, Steve. He said, yeah, my dad is hilarious. My dad has this, but I don't want to be my dad. And the fact you've done that, I think that's why you're having success. So I want to make sure you see that. Is yeah, all those big names of marketers love your dad, but it's because you're bringing your own self to this of why it's working. So kudos on that.
Thank you. It's all him. And he's never said any of those nice things about me. He's actually not very nice.
My sons have. They think you're hilarious. They still remember. Well,
so let's swap kids. That's what you should be allowed to do. You should be allowed to swap kids to kids find swapping. Those little buggers that appreciate you.
I actually had a business idea like that we had talked about in the gap year that there we would do like an entrepreneur student exchange. So our kids can go to other messed up people's houses and realize that maybe we're not quite as messed up as I'm just kidding. And learn something along the way that we're all crazy in our own unique way. But
you did that. Yeah, you did that with board meetings. Yeah. You gave other kids the chance to meet other kids from dysfunctional creative disruptors and go, hang on a minute, he may seem a little bit different, but everyone else has the same kind of process. Again, how you action it, how you use it, how you bravado it, blah, blah. You can all be different. But again, the DNA is still the same in all entrepreneurs.
I agree.
And I think there's just such a common bond between the children as well. I think our children, if we got together now, I think our oldest and Henry would be thick as thieves. I think the age difference at the time was a little wonky back then. But now I think it would be incredible because of those similar in temperament, that they're very different from their charismatic parent, but still really strong men. So it's really cool to see.
We had at one of our events a few weeks ago, actually, we had a young NASCAR driver, Colin Garrett, and he's an upcoming driver. And we interviewed him on stage about how to handle, because he's a young lad, how to handle rejection, because you get to the first corner and the brakes go. So you've got all of this tension working up to the race and you don't even make it around the first lap. you know, or someone knocks you off, or you get a puncture, something out of side of your control. How do you get the mindset? And so we had him up there and we talked about, you know, kind of like you've got all of this. And what we try to do is get people that live a life that can give you lessons that you can take into your life that may not necessarily be in your sandpit. And I said to him, when you've got all of this noise around you and everyone's rushing around you, and in his context, it was cars. In our context, it's life. And I said to him, I said, how do you control that? How do you fine tune? And he just simply said, I drive my own car. And it dropped it. And that's the same as Henry. Henry doesn't want to be me, never should, because he's a damn good him. He drives his own car.
I love it.
That's
going in the show notes.
That's huge.
Yeah, Colin, there you go. I remember when Colin dropped it up on stage and I actually paused it. I was like, that's a tag. That's a tag. You drive your own car. I absolutely loved it.
Yep. It's like it gives him a total disadvantage. I mean, a total advantage that he's driving a car that he can then use that. I'm like, dude, that's so good. Yeah,
it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
I love that.
That's amazing.
Well, I know we could talk for hours and hours, and I definitely want to have another one of these. But as you guys probably know, we usually try to finale. Actually, before we do our finale question, I want to make sure, what is the best way that guys can get in touch with you?
Folks.
Any of the folks out there that want to talk to you?
What's the Henry, tell them.
So sims.media is our website, or both of us, our social handles are at Henry D. Sims or at Steve D. Sims on all the platforms.
Perfect.
And I followed Henry for a while, but I don't think I realized Steve was on Insta. I'm going to have embarrassed to say that. So, I mean,
there you go. Look at that. Like, he's driving his own car. That's amazing. And Jamie's watching.
But in all fairness, Jim's not on Instagram, or else it would be that connection would be there. True. So that's interesting how that works.
True. You handle our Insta. So. But well, good. Well, I highly recommend you guys. I know Steve has pulled some amazing experiences out for people, and you know, watching what you're doing with Speakeasy. And I've been reading your guys' stuff about the difference between branding being connection and marketing being sales. And I mean, simple wisdom is something I follow. So any of you out there looking for that, I recommend you guys wholeheartedly, and obviously huge fans. But I want to ask for one more piece of wisdom, which we've been trying to give to our 18 Summers tribe. And it started about a year ago, where a lot of us say, advice would you give to your 21-year-old self? And that's good. That's a good exercise to go through. I believe in that. But, you know, starting into the pandemic, luckily we've done really well through it. But we started an exercise where I needed to go deeper than that. So when you're getting faced with some big things, I started to ask myself, you know, what would my 75-year-old self tell me right now? What advice would my 75-year-old self give to me now? And it pulled a different part of me out. And the answers we've been getting from some people you guys would know and other, it just had been incredible. And it's been big for Jamie and I. So I'd love to ask each one of you guys, what advice do you think your 75-year-old self would give to you or to us and our listeners?
I prefer that question to the 21-year-old.
Yeah, me too.
Because as the 21-year-old, you're making mistakes. You're getting educated, you're becoming empowered through those mistakes. Yeah. I've often said that if I was to go back in time and speak to my 21-year-old self, for a start, I'd probably ignore him. And secondly, I'd probably just tell him to stay off the bad whiskey. You know, I wouldn't want to give him any help because it was all of those lessons that made him me. Yeah. So that 21-year-old, I've never liked that question, but the 75-year-old, that's good. That kind of like got a different color, kind of couple of molecules up there thinking. I think, and I'm trying to do it now, and I don't know if it's an age thing, but I've become very conscious of how many chapters I've got left. And that's not a sad thing.
Morbid, no.
But I am aware that, you know, the kind of candle's kind of like getting close. And you have to take more time with your family. You have to, yes, enjoy life, but maybe the risks scale it back to 80%. The time spent on your business is for what compared to the time you spend with your wife? So, you know, Henry will tell you that we do a lot of things like taco runs, where we're literally just for any week, any day during the week, jump on a motorbike and go down to the beach and have a taco on the side of the beach and come home. Kills about an hour and a half of our day, but gives us a memory. And I'll take, Claire's got a favorite little breakfast slot. I'll take her away for breakfast just on random mornings. Yeah. And one of the other dumb things is I hate Valentine's. I don't need Hallmark to tell me and dictate to me when I should tell my wife I love her. So Henry will tell you, we have things like Happy Monday, Freaky Friday, Wonderful Wednesday. We just make them up. And there's loads throughout it. And Henry's been raised on these, you know, cheerful Tuesdays, and just make up and it'd be a case of, didn't you know it was Cheerful Tuesday? And Claire be like, no, I must have missed it. And so I very much do more of that. So I've noticed that, where is my time spent? Where is my impact best focused? Because now, and you don't think about this, was 21 years old, tomorrow is a gift. Yeah. And I want to plow as much as I can into it so that when I die, which is going to happen, it's going to be a case of, all right, I used up all of those days. I lived that life. And so that's really what my 75-year-old would just enforce, that you don't have many chapters left, mate, so make them worthwhile.
Don't have many chapters left, make them worthwhile. I love it. How about you, Henry?
It's funny how similar ours is, because you can see up in this corner here, I've got this poster on my wall, and it's actually got checkboxes for every week of the average expected lifespan. And I bought that, I think, some point last year. And because I realized that I was spending so much time dedicated to building a business and working really hard for something that I want. But at the same time, I realized that there was other things that I was letting slip by, like hanging out with my friends and family and going out and riding. And I wasn't doing as much of that as I used to. So I bought this calendar as a way that every single week I check it off and make sure that the previous week that I had just finished, I actually did something that I enjoyed and could make that week worth it. So it is very similar, that you need to be conscious of how quick time goes by so that you are making the most of it. However suits you, you don't have to go and build a business, but whatever makes you happy, whatever is going to make sure that you don't have any regrets at the end of your life, that every single bit of time you're actually squeezing the most out of it. So for me, it was just making sure that I've got this perspective and understanding for how quick time goes by and that I'm using it in a way that I'm happy to.
That's incredible. Can you tell us, I can't see it really well, but I'm very curious. Can you tell me where you found that?
Yeah, it's called My Life in Weeks.
My Life in Weeks. Okay.
And they have an extended one to where it's like 100 years old, but I don't want to bank on that fact. I got the one that's like 80 something years.
And then if you get bonus years, that's like,
exactly.
Then you start up in the risks again, like, you know, jumping off of cliffs.
Well, Henry, knowing Henry, will have some analysis laid out of how to add those extra 25 years.
Yeah.
Differently. Well, this has been an absolute pleasure. We love talking with you guys. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Yeah, this is always a pleasure. I can't believe it's been 10 years since, well, we've seen each other since then, but that big weekend and the time we've spent. But we love you guys. We appreciate you.
We're super proud of you, Henry.
Yeah, proud of both of you guys. Definitely.
It's awesome. Well, hopefully we'll end up at another board meeting. Maybe we can come and help some of your people. You know, we're happy to do that.
I'd love to have you two back, because we're not supposed to have favorites, but let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, but you know you do. Everyone knows you do. It's obvious.
We do. So we love you guys. Great seeing you, and we'll have you back again soon.
Thanks,
good. Coming on. Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.